So the message today, I want to focus on two things today. The idea we kind of started with that God is good, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're here because of His goodness. And I think when we pray, it's important to know why we pray. We pray because God is good. We pray not because we're good, we pray because He is good. And I'm going to invite you today to think about the question, who is in charge? Who has authority? When we acknowledge the authority of Jesus, when we pray to Him, the one who is in charge, the one who is good, I believe we stir bravery in our hearts when we say, Lord, You're good, and Lord, You are in charge. I certainly needed bravery years ago. I was a young man traveling in Alaska with my father, and we had spent much time preparing to backpack in the backcountry of Denali, 50,000 square miles of uninhabited rough terrain there in the shadow of the great Mount McKinley, the mountain called Denali. We were able to spend several nights there in the wilderness. We'd done the classes at the ranger station. They teach you how to prevent bear attacks, what to do if a bear does approach, what to do if a moose charges you, that sort of thing. And we just finished eating our supper, and no sooner had we had our last bite than the wind picked up, and it became so windy that we were forced to jump into the tent before it blew away. And then for the next several minutes, one of us sat in the tent, and the other found every bit of rope and line that we had and tied down all the loops and the rods, the corners of the tent. We just tied it down to the surrounding boulders where we were set up there. It was only 6 o'clock at night there in Alaska. 6 o'clock at night, and we were hunkered down waiting for the storm to pass. It became so windy that as we lay there on our backs, the roof of the tent, the wind had pushed it down until it was touching our noses. And we waited, just certain that the wind was going to tear this tent to shreds, this thin nylon of the tent. You know, we were at least a full day's hike to the nearest highway. No cell phones, of course. We hadn't even seen a single person in days. I certainly needed bravery because I was scared. So what about you? Are you facing any fears today? Do you have any anxiety about things? Any worry, any fear in your heart? I have a hunch that your fears are a lot like my fears and the fears of the people that I worship with in Pewaukee. We have fears that we will outlive our children. We have fears that the cancer will return. We have fears of bankruptcy. We have fears of losing a family member. Today, I think it's important to acknowledge the fear, but I also invite you to acknowledge who's in charge. Because when you know who is in authority, when there is confidence in who is in charge, there is courage. When there's confusion about who is in charge, that's where you find fear. So maybe the ultimate question, even for all of us as Christians throughout our lives, you might say the ultimate question we wrestle with is this: who is in charge? Who's in charge? You could answer the question in many ways. Who's flying the plane, right? That's the question. Who's driving the train? Who's in charge of this busload of kids that we call life? Who's in charge? You could say, well, no one. Isn't it obvious? There's no one in charge. That would be a secularist answer. But a tempting one, I would say. There's no one in charge. Just look around. Look at the headlines. That kind of an answer certainly, though, drives more fear into our hearts, I believe. There's no predictability if there's no one in charge. There's no pattern, there's no rhythm, there's no reason for anything if no one is in charge. You could answer the question, who's in charge, by saying, who's in charge? We are. We're in charge. That's why education is so important, and science is vital, and government is good. We're in charge, and we got to do a good job at being in charge. But what happens when we put our hope in people? We find out that people fail people, that organizations have conflict, that policies fail. So when we think that government is our God and science is our savior and education is our liberator, I think fear comes with that as well. Because people fail. They fail us. We fail each other. So who's in charge? You could also answer that question by saying, well, look around. It's obvious that the evil one is in charge. Some evil, malevolent force is running this world. How does that help us with our fear? Well, Jesus, our Savior, gives a very clear answer to the question, who's in charge? A very definitive response. Jesus says that He is in charge. He is the one with ultimate authority. If you would just spend a minute with me as we search the Scriptures, in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we're told that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and He has put all things under Christ's feet. All things under His feet, meaning under His authority. All things are under Christ's control. From governments to galaxies, no rule, no name outside of Jesus' rule. John's Gospel, 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by Christ, and that there was nothing made without Him. He's made everything. From the tiniest microbe to the mightiest mountain, Christ created them. Who's in charge? He is. Hebrews 1 verse 3 reminds us that by the power of His mighty word, He sustains all things. So not only did He create all things, He keeps them in motion. Christ is in control. He dictates the seasons and the tides. He oversees wildlife and sea life. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says that God has raised Jesus and set Him in the heights of heaven, and He has given Him a name above every name. Jesus has been put in charge of the universe. He sits in the driver's seat. Everything is under His control, even your world and my world. Right now, Jesus is in charge. And just now, a meteor has streaked across some distant galaxy, and Christ caused it to do so. Somewhere in the Congo, a giraffe is taking her first breaths, and Christ caused it to happen. And Jesus knows how many breaths this giraffe will take in her lifetime. He is in control. The migration patterns of the belugas in the oceans, Christ dictates their itinerary. He is in charge. He is in charge of the universe. He is in charge over your life as well. Jesus has control over your emotions, over your sleep patterns, over your eating habits. Christ is in control. He knows everything about you, every detail of your life He knows, from the good to the bad, and Jesus has the authority to use everything for His glory. He can use every detail of your life to increase your faith, to develop your character, and to further His kingdom. He's in control. You know that Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, it says that not even a sparrow that's worth only half a penny can fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father's knowledge. You know that one time Jesus pulled a coin out of the mouth of a fish. Another time He spoke a word and a tree became barren. A different time He spoke a word and a basket became a buffet. He has complete control. He's running this universe. All authority, he says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he wasn't joking. He has total control. The Bible gives us a very clear answer, doesn't it, to the question of who's in charge? So what difference does it make? What difference does it make knowing that Jesus is the one in charge? There's an account in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, of a Roman soldier. He's called a centurion. To be a centurion means that you have 100 soldiers under your authority. And this Roman soldier, he wasn't a Jew, but he was friendly to the Jews. And we're told that he has a servant who is sick. This Roman soldier has a servant laying in bed at home who is sick. And the soldier sends elders to go talk to Jesus. And Jesus hears about the sick servant, and he's on his way. And here's where it gets interesting. Jesus, on his way to heal the servant, before he gets to the Roman soldier's house, the soldier sends word and says, "Jesus, I don't deserve to have you under the same roof as me. I'm not worthy to have you come into my house." But listen to what the soldier says. He says, "Lord, just speak the word. Lord, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word, Lord. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." This Roman soldier in the Roman army, he understood authority. He was a man under authority, and he was a man who had people under his authority. When the soldier said, "Saddle my horse," his men saddled his horse. When he said, "Prepare for battle," guess what? They prepared for battle. When he said, "Jump," they said, "How high?" And this Roman centurion says, "Jesus, I understand authority. I'm a man under authority. I'm a man of authority. And I recognize authority when I see it. And Jesus Christ, I see that you have authority. Just speak the word, Lord. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And in Luke chapter 7, we're told that Jesus marveled at the faith he found. He marveled at what he heard from this Roman centurion. Jesus says that not even in Israel had he found such great faith. And here, not even a Jew, he marvels at the faith of the soldier. I believe Jesus is looking for faith like that even today. A faith that will say, "Jesus, I'm not the one in control here, but you are. Lord, you're in control, and simply speak the word, Jesus. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Lord, speak the word, because you're in charge." And so whatever we're facing, whatever trouble we have, anxiety is in our hearts, whatever suffering we are going through, we can say, "Lord, you're in control. Lord, you're the one in charge here. Just speak the word and grow this faith in my heart that you have placed there." You know, the opposite of faith is fear. The opposite of faith is fear. So that when faith sees fear come in, faith leaves, turns the corner, walks away. But when fear sees faith come in, fear exits through the back door. Fear is the enemy of faith. But I'm encouraging you today to simply open your heart, open the door of your heart to the faith that the Holy Spirit has already put there. The faith that was worked in you at your baptism. The faith that was given when you first believed the gospel, that God would come into our midst to have a relationship with us. Open your hearts to faith today. Let faith come in and let it drive out the fear. Some of us, we wake up every morning in fear. We spend the day dealing with anxiety, and we go to bed at night still in fear. I'm encouraging you, let the faith drive out the fear. Let faith into your heart today. Let it grow. Let it flourish. Because we know who is in charge. And when we can remind ourselves who has ultimate total control, when we can trust the one in charge, then bravery is born. Bravery will grow. courage will find a home in our hearts. He is in charge. You know, I wish I could say I was always good at handing over my fear, that I was always good at giving my anxiety back to God and acknowledging that He's in control. I haven't always been good at it, right? It's not easy. It's hard. About 10 years ago, my wife, Kim, and I, we had an opportunity to choose fear or to choose faith. At the time, I was working in Chicago. I was a construction manager, master's degree in civil engineering. I was working 9 years in a career that I'd spent 6 years studying to go into. And we were contemplating the opportunity for me to go into the full-time ministry, which meant at least 4 years full-time at the seminary. We didn't know anything of what lay ahead. The only thing we knew is that we didn't know what we were doing. But we decided to trust and to give our fears over to the Lord as we prayed and prayed and prayed. We didn't know. How were we going to pay for the $100,000 in tuition and fees? And where, literally in the world, were we going to end up after I graduated from the seminary? But we chose faith over fear. We chose to trust. We moved to St. Louis with our young family. And after 5 years, 5 years of traveling across the Midwest back to grandparents, 5 years of scrounging for rent money and trying to cover the health insurance costs, 5 years of spending time in the library, trying to carve out time with my children. Somehow God graduated me and moved us out of the seminary without a single penny of debt. And God placed us in a community here in Wisconsin where He knew my family could thrive. God is so good. He's so good to us. He promises to answer us when we cry out to Him day and night. He promises to draw near to us when we draw near to Him. He promises to hear every prayer. I don't know how God will answer your prayers, but I do know this, that He will answer. He will answer your prayers. He called us here to Wisconsin. And through all of this, through all of this time, I think the greatest thing that I remember, the greatest thing for me and my family, is just the simple gesture that God has given us. A reminder that He is in control, that He's in charge. Now my family and I can look back and we can remind ourselves, remember how God took care of us? Remember how the checks would just show up in the mail from random people around the world? Say, here, I want to support you. I don't know you, but I want to pay for your books this semester. I want to support you as you study. Remember how God took care of us and He answered our prayers? And He gave us into the hands of a people who love us here and gave us a people who we can love back. When we pray, God takes over. Can you remember that today? When we pray, God takes over. We pray because He is good. We pray because He is in charge. And when we pray, He takes over. Open the heart inside to faith today and let it drive out the fear. So 20 years ago, that night in Alaska that I was telling you about, it was a long night. I sure needed some bravery. Remember, we're in Alaska in the summertime. The sun doesn't even set till after midnight. I was laying there for many hours, just waiting for that tent to get blown away. And at some point, well after midnight, because it was finally dark, as my father and I lay there on our backs in silence, the tent still pressing against our faces, the Lord put a thought back into my head. It was a reminder of an account in the Gospels. Do you remember this account of Jesus when He is in the boat in the storm there on the Sea of Galilee and the waves and the wind are threatening the boat? And where is Jesus? He's asleep. He's asleep in the boat. And the disciples are starting to freak out. They're choosing anxiety instead of faith. And they wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? Lord, you got to do something. And Jesus reminds his disciples that he is in charge, that even the wind and the waves obey him. He has complete authority. And in my immature mind, the Lord was good, and he put that reminder in my mind that God is in control, that his Son has complete authority. And I was finally able to fall asleep then. And I woke up with the sun shining and the wind calm. And that next morning, our tent was somehow still intact. When we pray, God takes over. So let's pray. He is good, so let's pray. He is in control, so let's pray. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Amen.